Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom-quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Wait a minute! 60 Seconds of Reflection with Martha Fernandez Sardina.
Via Crucis, the way of the cross. We celebrate that or relive it or walk it every Good Friday, including this year. Why? Because Jesus walked his way to the cross, and the beautiful things that happened, painful things that happened on the way to the cross, are reminders to us of how we too must walk on this earth as we walk to the heavenly Jerusalem, which is heaven, which is communion with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. Maybe you're carrying a cross. Maybe you have difficulties. Maybe you have fallen not once, not twice, but thrice like Jesus. Maybe you need Simon of Cyrene, someone to come and help you bear the weight of your cross. Maybe you need to see the face of your mother, our Mother Mary, to help you. Maybe you, like Jesus, are under the weight of the cross and don't know what to do. Give yourself to Christ. Take in the way of the cross this Good Friday. He will lift you high.
For more information about Martha, visit MarthaFernandezSardina.com.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. It's simple, really. You either want to grow in virtue and holiness, or you want to be a sissy, whiny baby. If you choose to move forward, grab your whiskey glass, because the Catholic Man Show is starting right now.
That is some bass. Bringing in some bass to the Catholic Man Show.
It's all about the bass.
That's what I've been told.
That's
been
what
told
they say. That once. That's what they say.
I've heard that once before. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles in studio. A lot of things happened this week. How was your week?
Dude, my week was a little chaotic.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Everything went really well. Pamela and I are Catholic engaged encounter
people
instructors. We're couples. We're team leaders. So we, you know, go and we give talks. I think we give 7 talks over a weekend.
Seven talks. You and your wife.
Yeah, yeah. We give 7.
That is a lot of talks.
Yeah.
But that's easy for you. You talk a lot.
I do talk a lot.
Yeah.
And it blessed so many people with my words. Just
they're great
so
words.
So many people. Words, I have the best words. But anyway, it was just, this is our first one to do.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of extra stress, you know, just making sure, do we have everything? Like, I don't know. I think so, but hard to know for sure.
Right.
And also, there was one other talk we had to write this week. That went fine. But anyway, it was just... chaotic for that reason, just getting ready for a Catholic Engage encounter, but it went very well.
How many people were you talking to?
There were 14 couples this time.
14 couples? Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All trying to get each other to heaven?
That's right.
Good.
Mm-hmm. We had a good group, so.
Good. We also gave a talk to the men up there in Connecticut. Was it? No, New Hampshire. I'm sorry. New Hampshire.
I'm going to be honest. I have no idea where they were.
Yeah, we live streamed it.
Yeah. So, in between my talks in Catholic Engaged Encounter.
Right. I met up with you. We didn't even do it in studio. I met up with you so that way we could give another talk in between your talks.
God ordained it so that I happened to have a 90-minute break because there's two couples on Catholic Engaged Encounter. There's a younger couple and an older couple.
An
A-team and a B-team, yes. And the A-team, for some reason, is the young couples.
Which does not make sense.
That's fine. You know, I'll be the A-team. But anyway, we happened to have a 90-minute break. And it was exactly at the time we were supposed to be speaking at the men's conference via Skype.
Yes.
So, well, Zoom.
Our Council of Man member, Aaron
Kesmetis,
yes, invited us to speak at his Council of, or not Council, Knights of Columbus men's gathering. Over 60 guys.
It was a men's conference.
It was a Knights of Columbus men's conference.
Okay.
It was hosted, I'm sorry, maybe it was just sponsored by the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, I think it was...
The promo was with Knights of Columbus.
It was put on by his parish, I believe.
Okay.
And then they did invite other people from other parishes.
Well, the talk that we gave was recorded, and we'll be posting that on our Patreon page. So if you want to subscribe to Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow and do like Tim Legere did and become a friend tier.
All right, Tim.
Tim Legere. Way to go, bud.
I like that guy.
He's out of Tulsa. He goes to our parish.
Yeah.
And become a supporter of the Catholic Man Show. I want to thank the guys who did listen to the last episode and become a Patreon subscriber. Last week, we kind of said, hey, we're trying to expand. We're trying to maybe hire some people for our show, at least part-time. And any amount helps. We even had guys, you know, even just donate $2 a month. $2 a month.
Hey, thank you very much.
Ounces make pounds.
Totally.
And so we appreciate it very much for your support, all the people who helped us, because that's the only way we're going to continue growing. So anyway, if this is your first time listening to The Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode, this first segment.
Adam, what are those three things?
The three things that we do. This first segment, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. The second segment, we highlight a man gear. And then the third thing is we have a topic. So
a manly topic.
A manly topic. This week we're changing it up a little bit,
dude. I just tell you, I've been smelling this, and I might after today might become a cognac guy.
Really?
It smells really good.
It is. Let's try it. We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
So we're having the VSOP, which is stands for very special open. Pale is what it's...
What does that even mean? What do those words mean when put together?
VSOP.
Very special. Okay, I get that. What's open mean? Like
pale. I'm not sure.
Cask open on top?
I'm not sure what that means. But, you know, cognac is... It's not a whiskey. It's fermented grapes.
Right.
Right? It's fermented wine. And so... So you're going to catch a lot on the nose, like the apple... Green apple, very like a bouquet of fruit.
The nose is, it smells really good. To me, though, it didn't taste as good as it smelled. To me, I get a medicine-y flavor. There's kind of a little bit of cough syrup in there.
It's interesting.
I can drink it. I can drink this. But I think I made a mistake. I made a mistake. And raised my expectations a lot.
I do remember what it means. It means that it was...
The open and pale?
It just means... My understanding is it's been aged at least 4 years.
That's what the open pale means?
Well, I just know the VSOP means that it's been aged at least for 4 years.
Okay.
So...
Obviously, we're not cognac experts.
No, we're not. But I listened to a guy give a review on this, and he made a couple suggestions that I'll pass on to you guys. Like I said, I'm not a cognac expert. This is actually maybe one of my first times to try it.
It is 40% alcohol, though, so it's definitely a liquor.
Right. He said that you typically don't pair things with cognac. It's an after-dinner
A Digestivo
liquor,
if I may.
Sure.
Yeah.
You typically don't add water to it like you do with whiskey.
Okay.
So those are two things that he said. So I this may be good for to have. It's not very expensive, and so maybe a good idea.
So I'm reading the back. It says throughout history, Courvoisier. How do you say the name of this thing? Whatever this is called,
Courvoisier.
Courvoisier has always been synonymous with superior quality. Legend has it that Napoleon took with him hundreds of bottles to enjoy during his years in exile. Why is Napoleon getting to take hundreds of bottles of liquor? It's like, who? You're in exile, bro. Like, you're in timeout. You don't get toys in timeout.
You're in timeout.
You know what I'm saying? You don't get toys in timeout.
When Winston Churchill got captured, they allowed him to bring over, a lot of wine and whiskey.
For himself. See, I think if I was the one doing the capturing, I'd be like, yeah, sure, you can bring all that.
Bring it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he gets here, it's like, we're not giving it to you. I'm drinking it. You brought it for me. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, hey, it's time to pay a bet.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is something that I'm going to do. So maybe 5 years ago. Was it 5 years ago, you think?
I don't know.
Maybe six years ago.
It could have been 5 years ago.
It was, I made a bet with David Niles that Tiger Woods would never win another major. And that was a gutsy bet at the time. Everybody thought that he was still going, like, he was still on fire.
Well, no,
it was just a matter of time.
It wasn't 5 years ago, because Pamela and I were married. Well, we were married. Our five-year anniversary is coming up.
Maybe 4 years ago.
But it was after his fall.
Right, but everybody thought, I mean, he was still very high in all of the betting. Everybody thought that he was going to win. It was just a matter of time. And up until 2 weeks ago, no one really thought that he was going to, like...
Yeah.
The scales had tipped. Anyway.
I wonder if he's going to retire.
We bet $20.
Yeah, so I did not think he would ever win a major. But the reason I took the bet was because it was structured. I felt like the bet was structured in my favor. I knew exactly when I was to get paid. And it's really undetermined when you were going to get... When do I have to pay you $20? Well, I guess when he dies.
When he retires.
Yeah, when he goes to the senior, probably. But I think there have been seniors who have won majors. I mean, haven't there?
I would guess that's
happened. I don't know for sure, but...
Anyway, so I paid my bet.
Cheers, my friend.
Also, this year...
To honor.
Also, this week... I got my first ever set of
Show it over here.
Okay. Of the Summa Theologica by St. Thomas Aquinas. All five hardback covers. I'm super pumped. It will help very much in my project that I'm working on. I'm just very excited.
Will it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because don't you already have...
Second part of the second part.
Don't you already have it on Verbum?
Yes. But it's nice to have a hardback cover.
Yeah, I agree, but it's just not very, it's not nearly as user-friendly hardback.
Why don't you just rain on my parade? Go ahead, keep raining on it.
If you want me to, I will.
So anyway, I brought my set with me because I was just so excited. I got them today.
It is a nice set. The five books, you know?
Yes, it's nice.
Harkens back to the old days of encyclopedias.
It does. It does kind of feel that way.
Just hilarious.
So I'm really excited about it.
It's like, why didn't they just invent the internet back then?
Well, they did.
I mean, no, back then. Instead of buying all these encyclopedias, like, just go and invent the internet.
That's something that, yeah, that was...
You should have just done that.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking.
Anyway.
Hilarious.
So, what your thoughts on the drink? Do you think it's going
to,
like...
I think I need to adjust to it a little bit.
Okay.
Let me answer that question at the end of the episode.
Fair enough. When we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. Also, we're going to let you know the sponsor of this episode, one of the Lord's team.
A sponsored episode, The Winning Side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, sipping on some cognac. This episode,
yes,
we have a sponsor.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored, this episode is sponsored by Summons Magazine, by Be The Men. To subscribe to this free online print magazine, go to bethemen.com. This magazine is for every Catholic man who knows deep down we're all called to greatness. They also have a free daily email devotional you can sign up for at any time. Bethemen.com.
Bethemen.com. Cool.
I like that because I have...
That's a great URL.
I have the strength of many men, and so I kind of am being the men. You know, it's tough for a lot of people to be the men. You know, they can try to be the man. Mm. It takes more than a man to be the men.
That's interesting.
Ecce homo.
Ecce homo. Bethemen.com.
Be the men.
Thank you for sponsoring. Okay. Let's get into the man gear. The man gear today is interesting. It gave me the idea of a man by the name of Blair. How would you say Blair's last name? Wacob?
Wacob.
Wacob?
I have no idea.
Blair, if you're listening, I appreciate you sent a handwritten letter, which I appreciate handwritten letters.
Indeed.
To the Catholic Mantra, you sent a letter to us, and it had your letterhead on it, which I thought was just very nice. It was very well done. It's a nice, thicker stocked paper with your letterhead. So today, the man gear is a letterhead, having your own letterhead. It made me want to go get my own, which I did. I ended up going to get my own letterhead.
Do you have it with you? Can I see it?
No, it's downstairs.
Okay.
It's downstairs. But that's another reason why I love our show, Dave, is because there's so many men who give us such great ideas on how to continue being better men, on how to, like, things like that I wouldn't have thought of had he not sent us any a letter.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. What do you think is the difference between having your own letterhead versus having stationery, like your own stationery?
I think a letterhead is exactly what that is. It's just a piece of paper with your letterhead on it, with your name on the top. Or actually, I looked up a bunch of different types of letterheads when I was looking at them, and you know, people had all sorts of creative ways of their own letterhead. You know, Johnny Cash had his, you know, a certain way. All these, Elvis had his own certain way. I mean, there's all these guys who had just their, and Andrew Warhol had a crazy one. You know, so there's all different ways of having letterhead the way you want it to kind of show your style or who you are. I would say stationery is more of the whole kit and caboodle as far as like envelopes, thank you notes. It maybe encompasses letterhead as well.
Well, I don't know, because I guess you can personalize stationery. You know, you could have your name put on it, but to me, a letterhead is more than just having your name at the top. You know, you might have a logo or a crest or something. No, you don't think so?
No, I don't think that's accurate.
Okay, so what do you have on? What is on your letterhead? Your name?
On the top, it has my name. T. Adam Minahan, and it's boxed in, and then it has the Catholic Man Show logo on the bottom.
So you do have a logo.
Yeah, but you don't have to. I mean, Johnny Cash didn't have a logo.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that don't have logos.
I associate letterheads with logos.
Okay.
In my mind.
Okay.
Which we should talk one day about bringing back the family crest.
That's a good idea.
You know, and how do you even find...
That's a tough thing to do.
Do you even have a family crest? You know, like, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's epic.
It is. Yes, I agree. But so anyway, so letterheads. So I think that there's this art of writing letters that needs to be brought back. Brett McKay does a really good job of promoting letter writing.
Yeah.
He's from the Art of Manliness.
That's the only reason we got him on the show is because you wrote him a letter.
That's right. But so I decided, here's what I decided to do. I decided to change or to be intentional about letter writing.
Okay.
Because that's something we talk about all the time. In order, like, you have to be intentional about your prayer life. You have to set time for prayer, otherwise it won't happen. You have to set time to respond to emails, otherwise it doesn't happen. You have to set time to spend time with your wife, otherwise the end of the day and you're like, oh, I didn't spend any time really with my wife.
Yeah.
So I decided I need to set aside time to write letters. And so I decided that I set a block of time out to write 5 letters a week on a Friday. And so I write five letters a week on a Friday and mail them out.
So you do five letters on Friday?
Correct.
Okay.
I do
not,
all five.
Not in a week necessarily.
Well, five for the week.
But you do five on Friday?
Yes.
It's the Friday five.
The Friday five,
yeah.
If you will.
You haven't written me a letter.
No.
No, you're not really high on the list.
Yeah.
Or at all.
You didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
But because you live across the street.
Yeah.
So?
I have a mailbox. I had my mailbox fixed.
When's the last time you wrote a letter?
That? Have you noticed that?
No.
My mailbox is fixed. It used to be able to like have bricks broken on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No longer. The last time I wrote a letter.
It's been a long time.
Well, the last one I can think of.
It would have been a councilman when we sent out all the packages.
No, because that I wrote a note. I don't count. I mean, I'm thinking about writing a letter. So you start it with dear, comma, you know, next line, you know, a letter.
Okay.
The last one I can think of was to my wife, but she was not my wife at the time.
Mm.
After Pamela and I had been dating for 3 weeks, I knew that I was going to marry her. And so I wrote her a letter telling her that I was going to marry her and mailed it to myself. And then I gave it to her on our wedding day.
Nice.
Yeah. It was one of the more cool things I did in my life.
Yeah, very romantic.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that is
unexpected.
Yes. Well done.
You're welcome. So if you're dating or engaged and you find yourself in a situation that is apropos, go for it.
Yeah, take that one.
Yeah.
You don't even have to give him credit.
I did not even copyright doing such things because I don't think I could make any money on it. But that's the last letter I can think of. But I feel like I've written another one since then.
The reason why I like letter writing is because it's much more personal.
When you say letter writing, you're just meaning like any handwritten thing in the mail.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's much more personal.
Yeah.
Because of the convenience of email, text message, phone calls in today's world, you know, letters are almost obsolete. You almost don't get letters unless they're bills. I mean, you get mail, but it's bills. It's not letters.
So your letterhead, is it lined? I mean,
you
could put it on. Yeah. Okay. So it's difficult. It's more difficult. First of all, I'm a terrible hand. My handwriting is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to work at it. I've actually practiced cursive handwriting just to get to where I am right now,
mm-hmm.
which is still, it's like embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost not embarrassing, but it still is a little bit embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me having to write on non-lined paper,
mm-hmm.
it's not good.
Well, it just takes practice. I mean,
I know.
Like you said, before I started this, I was getting so bad at my own signature because of not really doing cursive that it was just kind of like a squiggle, M squiggle, and that was it. It took me a long time to remember how to write in cursive because I just never did. It had been 15 years since I'd written in cursive.
I think I need to go back to like the third grade books. You know, they had like the dotted letters for you to trace. Because my handwriting, my muscle memory is so ingrained that... Mm-hmm. I just can't break some of these ugly letters. And I look, you know who has beautiful handwriting? Seminarian. Peter.
Puelo?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that it? Puelo? No.
Puelo? P-U-E-L-O. However you want to say that.
Yeah. He sent me a letter
mm-hmm.
after I let him stay at my house when I told him I was going to be there, and then I turned out not to be there when he came in town for Thanksgiving a couple years ago. And he sent me a thank you letter. And it was just, man, I wish I had good handwriting because you see it,
mm-hmm.
and it's just beautiful to look at. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I think that something that about letterheads, it like inspires you to want to write. You know, there's this thing, something about the atmosphere that you're in. You know, if the studio, we try to provide an atmosphere to want to read, to want to do the things that we do in the studio. Same way with the mass, you know, with church. You know, we build up this beauty to want to be able to worship, you know, to give honor where honor is due. And letterhead is kind of something that it's like it kind of gets you excited if you have I just went blank on the pen, fountain pen. If you have a fountain pen and letterhead, it kind of inspires you, and makes you want to write. And I've been a big proponent of getting yourself in the mood, or you know, setting the stage, if you will, to be able to do an activity. Especially with writing, for me, writing does not come easily for me. So in order for me to write, I have to kind of set the atmosphere, if you will.
I will tell you something that has helped my writing.
Okay.
Is sitting at a desk that is the appropriate height.
Mm.
And a chair that, you know, you want the chair to desk ratio to be right so that it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And having one of those black mats to write on. If you don't have one of those, you can just put a few pieces of paper underneath.
Right.
As well. But the problem with that is that now the surface you're writing in gets higher than the level that your hand is resting on. So if you have a black mat, you can have one piece of paper on the mat. Your hand is the level of the mat. The paper is the level of the mat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you can also put lined. They have, I feel like letterhead belongs on a nice paper.
Yeah, it's nice stock paper, but the thing about letterheads is you kind of adapt it to your own personality.
Yeah, so you could get lined.
You can do it however you want.
Paper as well. There's that would help.
Yeah, you can do it however you want.
Great idea.
Anyway, when we get back, we're going to talk about St. Ignatius and the spiritual exercises and how we can apply that to our lives today. Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay, good. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. It's my turn to come back in. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I was like waiting for you to bring us back in, thinking like, man, he's coming in late this go around. And then I realized, nay, it is my turn.
TCMS fail.
Yes.
Right there.
Well, not the first time.
No.
But welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are sipping on a little bit of cognac. Talked about a letterhead and promoted the idea of letter writing. And now we're going to talk about, this is going to be an interesting topic, I think, at least for me, because I don't know a whole lot about it, and I want to just quiz you hardcore on the topic and stump you.
Let me tell you, easily done.
Easily
done.
Easily stumped?
Yeah, so I want to talk about the spiritual exercises today.
By St. Ignatius.
By St. Ignatius of Loyola. A little bit of back.
Ooh, can I say something really fast about St. Ignatius?
Yeah, I will allow it.
You know, we were talking about how you were kind of a romantic last segment.
Yeah.
Any guy who's like trying to be a romantic can relate to St. Ignatius Loyola, because he was like trying to, he met a girl, a lady who was, he knew was well above him. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And he wanted to try to woo her. He wanted to try to catch her attention.
Woo!
So what he decided to do is he's like, I'm going to go into this hopeless battle, and I'm going to triumphantly win, and it's going to cause my name to become really big and famous, and it's going to cause her to ask about me. And that was his game plan. So he rallied his troops around him, because he was a soldier. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I knew that.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the patron saint of soldiers.
Right. So he rallied his troops to say, hey, we're going to go into this battle. It's going to be tough. We may not win, you know, but we have to do this. Well, right off the bat, cannon fires, hits his leg, shatters his leg.
That's how he got into the battle. Yeah. Cause he was fighting the French.
Right. Cannon fired, hit his leg, shattered his leg. All of his buddies were like, well, he's out. So
yeah, as soon as he fell, they immediately,
they're like, we're done. So, but he was trying his best. The reason why he was fighting this battle was to catch the girl's attention.
Yeah. So before this battle,
which is pretty intense. Like, think about that. There's a girl that you find attractive.
I did not know that part about this story.
Yeah,
I did know that his troops wanted to surrender, and that he, you know,
was like,
he was a good.
He knew he's going into battle knowing like the odds are against me, but I'm trying to win this girl over, so I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, the cannonball went in such that it actually hit both his legs. It wounded both of his legs, but one of his legs was broken.
Yes, in multiple places, I believe. Anyway, St. Ignatius Loyola. Was that in the 1400s? Is that correct?
I don't know.
Somewhere around in there.
I don't know. But so anyway, after this, he was captured by the French, and the French were super nice to him. They, in fact, they brought him to Spain. They took him back to Spain so that he could get better.
Mm-hmm.
What? The French. Hey, this is why you're not good at fighting. Okay, whatever. That aside, his bones didn't get set right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so when he got back to Spain, the doctor said, "All right, well, we're gonna have to break it again, and it's gonna be incredibly painful." Mm. Okay, there's no anesthesia, you know,
right,
no local anesthetic,
right?
And so it was reported that everybody, it was a big deal because all he didn't make a sound when they cut open his leg, broke it, and set it again. All he did was clench his fists.
That's crazy.
And the doctors were just like, man, this guy is either the toughest guy I've ever seen or he's a psychotic.
He's a little off his rocker.
He's psychotic. He's, you know, whatever. But even then, the way it healed in such a way that he had a bump on his leg just above his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the dress was such that men wore tights. And he did not like the way he looked in his tights because he had this bump that he thought was ugly.
Okay.
So he went back to the doctors and said, "Can you fix this?" And they said, "Well, yeah, but you don't want to do it. It's going to be worse than before." And he said, "Do it. I want you to do it."
Wow.
And they said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "Do it." So they did it, and once again, all he did was clench his fists. Not a sound. Not a word.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because I think they had to shave it down. So, like, shaving his bone, you know? Anyway, so then he's in the hospital. He's in the hospital, and they only had two books for him to read.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was on the saints, the life
of the
saints.
Because, like, books were tough to get a hold of those times.
Right. Yeah, so
the life of Christ and the life of saints.
Yeah, or it was like a catechism or the life of Christ. I don't know what the other one was. But then one of the most important thing is that one of them was on the lives of the saints. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, man, these guys are the real heroes. These guys are, if they can do it, I think he was kind of the guy who was like, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too. Okay.
Is that the virtue of magnanimity?
No.
That was pride?
I'm pretty sure it's pride.
It's more of pride.
Yes.
Than the virtue of magnanimity.
So anyway, he did become a saint. Actually, it turns out he was right. So maybe it was humility, because he's in all humility, in all truth, I'm telling you, if they can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Because in fact, he did do it.
Yes,
he did become a saint.
He is a saint.
One of the best. So, you know, long story short, he did a lot of crazy things. I don't want to spend too much time talking about his life. I do want to tell one story though, because it kind of gets to the point of like his attitude and how he developed these exercises.
Okay.
Right after he was getting better, he's like learning to walk again, and he told his family, "Look, as soon as I get out of here, I'm walking to Rome on pilgrimage. I'm going to come back and I'm going to be a monk." And they tried to like, "No, don't do that. Please don't do that." You know, they were kind of like semi-wealthy. But he said, "No, that's what I'm doing." Well, he started off with a donkey. And he met another Christian who was telling him like, "Oh, great, you're a Christian. I just became one." And so it was great for him to talk to this other Christian. But then at some point, Ignatius asked this guy about, "Well, what about the perpetual virginity of Mary?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I don't believe in that. And here's why, blah, 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 blah." He gave him all these reasons. So anyway, then they went their separate ways. But as he thought about it, the fact that this guy didn't believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary made him madder and madder and madder. And finally, he decided, "I'm going to go kill that guy. He deserves to die for this."
Wow.
Because he's a soldier.
Right.
Just in his mind, no, you crossed the line. You deserve to die. Nobody talks about my mom that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kill you. It's not that I want to do it. You just deserve it. Okay. So anyway, he was praying to God and he said, "All right, up here to the left is where I would need to go, because I know where the town that guy went to. God, if you want me to go serve justice to this man, let my donkey veer to the left and take that path," because it was a fork.
Mm-hmm.
"And if not, keep my donkey going straight." Well, the donkey went straight, and so
he
didn't go and kill the guy. But, you know,
right.
He's just like, he's a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's funny that
duty.
A lot of the saints a lot of the great saints of the church's time all have such a strong devotion to our mother.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at all the most of the doctors of the church, they all have a very strong affinity towards our mother.
Yeah. So anyway, he went on to found the Jesuit
The Society
order,
of Jesus.
The Society of Jesus. And
epic name.
Totally an epic name. Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to name an order, it's like
what is the Society of what? Jesus.
How about Jesus?
How about Jesus?
That's not taken yet. I'm gonna do that one.
Nobody's done. Okay, well, yeah, I'm gonna pick Jesus.
Yeah.
And he became known as being one of the experts in discerning spirits. Okay, so and in discerning in general, really.
Okay.
And he developed the rules for discerning. One of them is, and I'm not want to get into his rules today, but one of them is things like consolation, desolation. In times of desolation, you never change anything. Don't change a thing.
Okay.
And in times of consolation, don't make big decisions. I think that's
what
it was.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because you don't want to be, you don't want to be chasing spiritual highs, I guess, and making these big decisions. So anyway, I really want to talk about, in general, the spiritual exercises.
So he has a 30-day retreat.
Right. So he wrote the exercises as a 30-day retreat.
Okay.
Broken out into what are called 4 weeks. They're not actually, each week is not actually 7 days, but they call them 4 weeks. It's just four time periods. And I have always wanted to do this.
Yeah, but I don't have 30 days.
Right. I can't leave. I can't go somewhere for 30 days.
No.
Take a month off from work, much less my family.
Right.
You know, so I've always kind of lamented that, like, oh, maybe someday, you know, maybe someday when I retire, maybe my wife and I can go do it together.
Right.
And it's usually a silent retreat, I think, or at least much of it is a silent retreat. But the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I've been just trying to think about, well, how could we just maybe without doing this as a retreat, how could we incorporate these principles or this cycle into my day-to-day prayer, my day-to-day routine? Okay, so let's just talk about what the different weeks are, okay? And just right off the bat, if for more information, you can go to IgnatianSpirituality.com. It's the end all. It's the beginning and the end of everything you need to know.
Okay.
About this stuff. The first week of the exercises, you're really pondering sin in your life and the consequences of sin in your life, and just how God's love for you, which is a good place to start. I think
that's how they.
It's reconciliation, sort of. Yeah.
Well, that's how they. A lot of the saints have suggested to start out meditative prayer in general is to start out by meditating on the sins that you've committed throughout the day.
Okay, so let's talk more about this when we get back from the break.
Okay,
we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
This episode's sponsored by BeTheMen.com.
BeTheMen.com.
Go check them out and let them know that we sent you, because that helps us.
Totally. We're also sipping on some cognac, which is okay. It's I think it's grown on me a little bit. It's a little bit better. I mean, but still, it's just okay, I think.
Yes.
If someone offered it to me at a party, I would say yes.
I would as well. I would not decline.
Right. Okay, so the 4 weeks.
Okay.
Let's just get right to that, because I think to make sure we get that in. Okay, so the first week, it's a time of reflection in our lives and how God's boundless love for us, and we see that our response to God's love has been hindered by patterns of sin. Okay, that's what it's all about. It's all about the sin in your life, how it has gotten in the way of your relationship. And I think on the 30-day retreat, this is 10 days long.
It would make sense that this part would probably be the longest.
10 days of pondering your sin. I think, however, that it's not as... I don't know that it's a specific fixed date. I think it just depends on how long it takes you to process through it all.
Okay.
And so, who knows? Who knows?
Somebody does.
The first week ends with a meditation on Christ's call to follow him.
It ends with... Say that again?
It ends with a meditation on Christ's call to follow him.
Okay.
Okay.
Pick up your cross and follow him.
Yes. And, you know, of course, when you do this retreat, you have a spiritual director. When you... You know, that's... For the retreat.
I thought it was not. I thought that the whole purpose of this was to not have a spiritual director.
No, you typically have a spiritual director when you do this. Someone who is familiar with the exercises and can help.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've heard it's not as... Anyway, go ahead.
But this isn't like a life spiritual director, but it's a one for the retreat. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not someone who knows you intimately, but is there to help guide you through the exercises.
Okay.
So the second week, the meditations and prayers teach us how to follow Christ as his disciples. So, you know, you're reflecting on scripture passages about the birth and baptism, his sermons on the Mount, ministry of healing and teaching, raising Lazarus from the dead. And you're brought to decisions to change your life.
I can't imagine doing that for that long.
Yeah, I don't know how long this one is. I mean, how many days?
Even more than a day, I can't imagine doing it.
I you know what, man? I agree. I'm just not disciplined. I don't have enough virtue.
Me either, man.
I think I would start to go crazy.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you read this, and I'm thinking like, I can't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that.
I've always wanted to do a silent retreat, but I think just, you know, since I've never done one, if it was more than 3 days long, I'm not sure it would be healthy for me. I think
you'd go crazy.
Well, no, I mean that. Like, so everybody uses this analogy, but I think they use it because it's good. If you go into the gym and you try to start, mm-hmm. you're just going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got to do what is appropriate for your condition,
for your state in life.
Right. And so I would love to, I think there are monks out there who do this all the time. In fact, I think Jesuits very often will do these 30-day retreats.
Well, it would make sense.
Yeah, it would make sense. But there's just no way I could do...
I just couldn't imagine doing it for that long to think about... You know, St. Teresa of Avila talks about how she was told to meditate on the Our Father, and all the sisters around her like got through the whole Our Father, and she hadn't even gotten through Our Father. The words Our Father.
Yeah.
Meditate. And it's like, man, that is crazy because I just can't do that. Mm-hmm. I would like to. I think that
I was doing this actually recently because that story is, I think about that sometimes when I pray. Mm-hmm. I say the Our Father so fast. You know, it's like, I should really slow down. I just am in a hurry. I want to finish the rosary. I'm very goal oriented sometimes in my prayer. But just about like, hallowed be your name. And it's not like, oh, he has a holy name. No, holiness is his name. That is his name.
Right.
Deep. Deep, bro. God is deep. There's a t-shirt for you. God is deep.
It's a bad t-shirt, but it could be a t-shirt.
Okay, so the third week, you meditate on Christ's, on the Last Supper, on his passion and death. So, yeah.
That I could meditate on for quite a while.
Yeah, it's all about the passion, his suffering, the gift of the Eucharist.
When I'm praying the rosary, the sorrowful mysteries are the easiest for me to meditate on.
I agree.
I mean, I can meditate on the sorrowful mysteries. Mm-hmm. But the joyful aren't too bad either, but the luminous and the glorious mysteries, sometimes I'm just like, whew.
I prefer the glorious over the joyful.
Really?
Yeah. To me, there's just a lot more mystery there.
See, okay, that's interesting because for me, I want more tangible. Like, I can imagine, you know, Mary being young and then an angel appearing to her and like what she was thinking and how scared she could have been. And then, you know, okay, now we got to take Jesus to go consecrate him in the temple, you know, and I can imagine going there and finding Jesus in the temple. You know, I can just imagine all this stuff.
Okay, so what you're
less
doing...
Less memory.
What you're doing is mystery. Actually essential to the spiritual exercises. They talk about the difference between meditation and something else.
It's not contemplation.
Could be contemplation. Okay. Yes, I think it is. So for them, in the spiritual exercises, when they say contemplation, they really mean the agony in the garden. Be there.
I can see that.
Put yourself there. Okay. Like, look, there he is. There's Jesus on the rock. Like, you know, imagine you're standing next to him. And
see,
stuff.
That's what I imagine. Like, even like in the agony of the garden. Like.
That's what they want you to do in these exercises. So the third week is on the passion. The fourth week is obviously on the resurrection. And his apparitions to the disciples. And
see, all that stuff would be a lot harder for me to meditate on because there is more mystery. You know, it's like...
Well, I think you could do that. I mean, they're scared. They're in the upper room. I mean, there's all these...
Yeah, but I mean...
All these things. You just got to think about it.
The
passion is clearly the easiest.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
Okay. Good. You owe me $20.
So, it's all about walking with the risen Christ and how that plays itself out in concrete ways in our life. Okay? So, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I think that we can implement this cycle of prayer in our own lives. And so I want to start doing this. I'm not sure how good I'm going to be at it, but I have a routine. My routine doesn't change a lot, and that's okay. But I can maintain that routine with a theme. So that's what I'm going to maybe start to do. And I suspect that, you know, you do these four different weeks, the effects of sin.
So when you say meditation, this, how are you going to do it? What do you mean you're going to
do? Okay, so I'm just going to take a week. I'm just going to decide. All right, for the next week, my prayer, when I pray, I'm going to be thinking about the effect of my own sin in my life. That's what I'm going to pray about. When I go to adoration, that's what I'm going to think about.
Okay.
And then the next week, I'm going to change that, and it's going to be about Jesus's call. You know, him calling me.
Okay.
How am I responding to that call? You know, and then for the week after that, I'm going to meditate on the passion. And then the week after that, it's all going to be about the resurrection. And I think that if you go through these, and then when I'm over, maybe I'll just start over. I mean, who knows?
Well,
maybe I don't get a lot out of it. I don't know. But I suspect that I will. I mean, it's hard. And so instead of just kind of having free range, open, like, all right, God, let's see where my mind wanders to today, because very often that's what ends up happening, even though that's not necessarily what I want. But, you know, I started thinking about green beans and whatever else. You have no idea.
You're right. No one knows what goes on in your head.
You just don't even understand. Okay.
Right.
So at least I think this will give my meditation some guidance. So it'll put guardrails up, keeping me pointed in a holy direction. And I think a lot of guys struggle with distraction in prayer. I mean, I think almost everybody does. So maybe give it a shot and let us know. Send us a message if it's something that's worked for you, or if do it. And then if it works for you, let us know.
I still want to know, like, exactly how this is going to look in your life, like in your prayer life. I'm still not following completely exactly, like, because you said I'm just going to meditate on my sins. It's like when are you going to do that throughout the day?
When I have my meditative prayer, which I always do in adoration, I do a little bit at mass. I do in the morning. I mean, short bursts in the morning. But at adoration, you know, I have a good amount of time that I will just blank slate. I'm not here to pray anything specific. I'm just, you know, spending time.
Right.
And very often, you know, have a just an elementary conversation, you know, hey, Jesus, you know, thanks for bringing me here. This is what's happened to me today. You know, basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so now I'll have a theme, you know, hey, I'm sorry for sin, all the sins, you know, help me to think about these things.
Okay.
Even venial sins, you know?
Yes, absolutely. So there's a book that's put out by Tan. It's right. I have it right here. Actually, it's called The Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius. And it gives each week. I thought this was interesting, though, because it talks about the principle or foundation of this whole exercise.
Yeah.
And it says, man was created for a certain end, and this end is to praise, to reverence, and to serve the Lord his God, and by this means to arrive at eternal salvation. So this whole idea, it seems like, of his exercises is only to reorient man back towards God. And in today's world, that with all these distractions, it seems like that this would be a great way to become distraction free, or make sure that you're going back towards understanding who we are created for, like the end of man.
I mean, it just occurred to me that the body needs regular exercise, and so that the soul would as well. And prayer, all prayer is good exercise, but, you know, sort of the difference between, oh, I go to the gym and just kind of pick a machine to work on, or I go and do circuits at the gym, you know, I do supersets, you know, so incorporating these things, I think, will be more efficacious.
Okay. I don't disagree with you there.
We'll see.
Thanks to BeTheMen.com for sponsoring this episode of the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.